But we begin with something that was in the Indianapolis Star on Saturday. There was a survey done sometime in 2012, surveying prisons in our country, federal prisons, state prisons, and county jails and detention centers in counties and cities all across the country. And it was dealing with a very serious subject of a sexual impropriety and sexual abuse in jails and prisons and correctional institutions. And we'll be very delicate in how we talk about this issue because we got a lot of kids that are listening. I'm going to keep it on a G rating, but some serious charges were leveled at the Marion County Sheriff, and in one of the components of the Marion County Jail, front page story on the Indianapolis Star on Saturday, because they had nothing else better to report, saying that this federal survey conducted by the Bureau of Justice Statistics of the Department of Justice said that the Marion County Jail Annex had one of the highest incidents of sexual misconduct against inmates by staff. The sheriff of Marion County, John Layton, is in the house. Sheriff, how you doing?
Oh, wonderful, Amos. Thank you.
So, first of all, this is a survey that I understand is done every so often by the Bureau of the Department of Justice, the Bureau of Justice Statistics, making sure that our prisons and correctional facilities are safe, you know, that there's no kind of hanky-panky or misconduct going on in there.
Absolutely. And you know, we welcome them to come in. In this particular survey, we could have turned them down and said, no, don't come in. But why do that?
This was not something mandatory.
Absolutely.
You could have said, I'm the sheriff. I don't want you coming in here.
Could have.
I should have looked at that.
No reason to.
I should have looked and seen what Arizona, whether that crazy county jail that crazy sheriff is in there. Did you know when how does the survey take it? Do people knock on the door and say, we want to go visit inmates? I got a copy of the questionnaire. I understand this is a confidential survey, and Brother Murray, Kevin Murray from the Marion County Sheriff's Department, is also here. This is a confidential survey, as I understand. Is that correct, Kevin?
Yeah, that's correct. In terms of how it was administered to the inmates, they were told it would be confidential and that no one would ever cross-examine them on their answers.
Were these surveys given to inmates and then somebody stood outside the cell while they filled out the information of the survey, sort of like when you take your ballot, it's a secret ballot, only you know how you voted, how you responded? And I understand in reading the questionnaire that people that were supposed to be responding put it back in a sealed envelope and hand it in to somebody. Is that how they did it here?
Well, as we understand it, they arrived early in 2011, and they actually had two components. One was a 30-minute touch screen, if you will, sort of a real technically advanced way to administer a questionnaire done in a solo fashion. And then for some of them, they actually did do a paper survey, but you're absolutely right. It was done confidentially and without attribution at all, so no one would ever know who said what about whom.
Now, they only surveyed 62 individuals in this survey, and the margin of error is extremely high because it was so low. Sheriff, is that one of the concerns?
Oh, absolutely. 62 individuals were interviewed, but yet, you know, I think the number that I saw was 5 out of the 62 reported or responded positively in this situation, which gave them a statistical figure. But then there's no way to go back and find out exactly who might have been, who might have been stretching the truth, who might have been out not lying about it. Now here, for instance, I'm going to give you an example. When a police officer or a deputy sheriff is arrested, the first thing we have to do when that unfortunate situation occurs, the first thing we have to do is separate that person from the general population of inmates for that person's safety, for that police officer's safety. So why would we think for 1 minute that when inmates have a chance to write something false about a police officer that they wouldn't do it immediately? Actually, when you stop and think about it, 5 out of 63 might be a little low when they have the chance anonymously to rain down on a police officer in any way, shape, or form. And these are deputy sheriffs that they're talking about.
What they based upon the results of this survey, it said that 7.7% they kind of projected that 7.7% of inmates in the Marion County Jail intake facility, I'm going to ask you in a minute what the intake facility is, were victims of alleged sexual victimization. So if I take the 62 people surveyed and I take 7.7% of that, that's four individuals. So first of all, you'd want to know what those incidents are, because you're the sheriff that when you find misconduct among your people, they out the door. It's not like officers that are, you know, still suspended after 2 or 3 years waiting for a decision to be off the payroll. They gone.
Yeah, they are. Anytime we have gross misconduct, obviously that's going to happen. And it's a shame that once in a while, not in this situation, but once in a while that does happen in every police department and sheriff's office in America. But yeah, we don't mess around with that whatsoever, and I would love to investigate these. But right now, it's nothing to me. It's nothing more than official gossip, and that's a shame when so many good, hardworking deputy sheriffs and support staff constantly come to work every day trying to be the most professional they can, and because of innuendos by a hired vendor for the DOJ, can put out some official gossip such as this, and you know, kind of tarnish these careers of these hardworking folks that I champion.
Let me go with you, because there's two listings in this report. The other was for the Marion County Jail, where it said there's 1,223 inmates. So that sounds to me like that's the regular jail at 50 South Alabama.
Yes, sir.
Plus jails two. Is that correct?
Another 1,000 at jail two.
So when I see 1,223, that's the regular Marion County Jail on Alabama?
That's how many it could hold.
That's how many it could hold.
Yeah, we usually have, I think today, 1,025 in the Marion County Jail.
So what is the jail intake facility?
Well, that's when they come over from the APC, the Arrestee Processing Center, and they're first coming into the jail. That used to be the situation, but as of about 4 months ago, I changed that around, and we took these folks out of that area, which usually housed the trustees, so to speak, the folks that work in the kitchen and the laundry area and things like that. They housed those folks in the day that we're talking for this survey. And what we did now, we've switched that around. So as of months ago, it is no longer that facility. It houses the women of the Marion County Jail. We took them over there and gave them a separate facility where they could get classes and learn certain skills.
So at the time this survey was done, the intake facility were people that were halfway between, they'd been arrested, they'd gone through the Arrestee Processing Center, they then were put into the sheriff's custody, and then they would first go to the intake facility, which I understand is in the basement,
right,
the sub-basement of the city county building.
Yes, sir.
Before they would end up on Alabama Street.
Right. We used to call it lockup, and I think that title has stuck with that because that's what we did for so many years under the past sheriffs. We have changed that at this point.
Is there some concern? Because once I found out and read the report myself this morning, because the Indianapolis Star did not take a copy of the report and put it on their website for reasons I will never understand. I looked at it and I said, "Okay, let me look at it." Okay, what if this is true? What if there was some misconduct going on over there? Some people might say, "Well, maybe this was something that was maybe some irresponsible employees." I'll use the word hazing, and then probably a little bit more severe than hazing, but to keep it on a G-rated, where staff could have been mistreating people that were just being admitted to the jail. Wouldn't that be a cause of concern?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely be a cause of concern, and I would love to be able to investigate something like that if it did occur. But there's no evidence, be it circumstantial or physical or any type of evidence, that this did occur.
What are inmates told? That if, because there might be inmates and there might be families of inmates, you know, listening, saying, well, maybe that's true, but they would be afraid to report it to the sheriff because the person that they would victimize, they would meet them in the back, you know, in a back corridor in the jail, and bad things would happen to them.
Well, interestingly, I mean, we work with the ACLU. We work with the Public Defender's Office. Those are the folks that would get notice of that to begin with. And we've never had that problem. I consulted with both of them immediately upon receipt of this. And those lawyers who represent these folks have had no such complaints. Furthermore, Saturday, after reading the Star article, which suggested that this was about the Marion County Jail and not the limited area of the city county building lockup, we had a CCA inmate claim that, in fact, in December, he was sexually assaulted. Mm-hmm. The sheriff's investigators went over immediately, and keeping in mind of your audience, he alleged something very specific.
Right.
Upon further questioning, he admitted, no, that didn't really happen. In fact, I wasn't touched there at all. But there was a scuffle, and I was involved in the scuffle. I made this up after reading the Star story on this subject matter. Now, you know, our investigators now are going to go to the prosecutor's office and seek a false crime report. But there's an example of he certainly didn't feel any reluctance to come forward to make an allegation completely false. So if you have a basis for the allegation, I think that's what they would do. They would consult the ACLU or they would consult the public defender.
And let's not forget that these folks that did make the complaints have been out of jail by now. I mean, they could have gone post-incarceration and said, look what happened to me back then. There's no one to intimidate.
Oh, wait. Let me go back. So because this is the jail annex. Intake.
Well, it's the intake.
The intake. So this survey was taken in 2011.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's theoretical that some of those people that filled out the survey and maybe made an accusation are out.
Right. They're all gone. They're all gone. As the sheriff said, this is now an area where women are housed. Mm-hmm. At the time, we had 240 beds for inmate workers in that area. That's all changed. It's down to 207 beds, and the sheriff's developed a women's program over there. So the physical facility isn't even there. That was the other thing that was troubling with the Star report that wasn't even discussed.
When I look at the surveys that were done of people in the regular Marion County Jail, three times as many individuals were surveyed. It was 62 surveyed in the intake facility, 197 surveyed in the regular facility, and the percentage of reports was anything above zero to me is not a norm, but is a far lower percentage. Do you get any satisfaction that the reports this survey showed put you in line with most facilities in the country?
No, what I get out of that is that some folks over in the lockup area at that time, they just got their heads together and decided to do this. Mm-hmm. I mean, no, I don't. It doesn't give me any satisfaction at all because I know it didn't occur.
Mm-hmm.
And if it did, give me some evidence. You know, we're cops. We're mm-hmm. police officers. We're public safety. We deal with evidence, be it circumstantial or physical. We take it to the limit. We prosecute. Give it to us. We'll take care of business. But don't throw out official gossip and see if it sticks to the wall. But in this case, unfortunately, through certain media, it has.
In the Indianapolis Star article, they said that in past surveys that prison and jail facilities that had a high percentage of these incidents, the feds would come in and want to interview everybody and talk to them. Are you waiting for the feds to come? Are you calling the feds and said, you know, hey, when are you going to come see me?
The feds that we have talked to, local, federal, the marshal himself, the other federal agencies, they're scratching their heads. They have no idea where this came from.
And Amos, it's important to remember, this jail was under federal supervision for 35 years, mm-hmm. and that was lifted in 2007. And by 2009-10, the jail was accredited. It's the only ACA-accredited, American Correctional Association-accredited jail run by a sheriff in the state of Indiana.
In past surveys, what were the statistics?
Well, we talked to the state jail inspectors mm-hmm. before we came over today, in addition to the public defender and the ACLU, and all of them have no reports of staff on inmate sexual activity.
Mm-hmm.
And when we met with the marshal this morning, he has 100 federal inmates mm-hmm. in the jail. He's had no reports on that. We get inspected by the federal jail inspectors, mm-hmm. ICE inspectors. It's the most inspected jail in Indiana, bar none. And what we constantly get is positive feedback, because we came in 2002, we were told that it was the worst jail that had been visited except for Tijuana. And now it's an example of how a community can come together, deal with staff understaffing and overcrowding.
We're talking with Marion County Sheriff John Layton about an article that most of you did not see in the Indianapolis Star on Saturday, since most people do not read the Indianapolis Star on Saturday. It also talked, this article talked about the Ripley County Jail. I mean, the original, the headline online, not the one in the major, the one in the major paper said Marion County. The one online said Ripley County and Marion County. Actually, using percentage terms, 7.9% of inmates allegedly reported some sexual victimization in the Ripley County Jail, which is a very small county down in southern Indiana. But they didn't bother to talk to anybody in Ripley County. But I understand, Sheriff, you talked to the sheriff of Ripley County?
Sheriff Tom Grills called me this morning and livid. Actually, I'd gotten some text messages from him over the weekend that I probably can't share.
He was not pleased.
No, he is not pleased at all. He has 100 inmates in his jail. And the complaint on his jail was inmate-on-inmate sexual contact, not inmate and employee. So, but he's still baffled by it. He has no idea what this is all about. He was never contacted by anyone, federal or local or anybody else. They just print these flyers and put them out, and people will believe them because of where they come from, I guess.
A couple of other things that we have not talked with Sheriff John Layton since the governor signed the power grab now law. Were you surprised, Sheriff, when you read the governor's 1,600-word with two footnotes signing statement where he all but singled you out as the reason that this law was needed?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all. We Marion County is at the forefront of everything in this state, and if they want to start chipping away at the Constitution, they're going to start in Marion County. They're going to take on the big guys first, and now that the lay of the land politically is what it is, they can use the bully pulpit to do just that. It's a shame. It's sad. It's disgraceful. But it's the way it is right now. The people of this great state have put these people in office. And I just hope these people that put them in office are watching and doing their homework on what they're doing to the Constitution of Indiana and how they're – it's a one-way street. You know, they'll make a law one day, and then when the other side of the fence gets in, they just move the goalpost. It's just that simple. So, no, it doesn't surprise me that he signed it. I expected him to.
Has any decision been made on testing the constitutionality of the power grab law?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Would it happen before it takes effect on July 1st, or you got to wait till July 1st?
If you don't mind on this one, I'd like to refer to our lawyer in the room.
I think we'll pass on that question for now.
Uh-oh. Bum-bum.
Wait a minute. You trying to out cliffhanger, the scandal cliffhanger? Is that what you tried to do? You notice he was calmer than Olivia and Dad. He was calmer than...
Well, I'm the sheriff. I can say this. There's been some very high-level meetings on this side of the fence, and it's far from over.
It's far from over.
Far from over.
The new season could start at any time.
Oh, yeah.
I will say it was very disappointing to read the signing message because it suggested, it was absolutely false in terms of its reference, its oblique reference to the sheriff's office. It didn't say the sheriff's office, but it said a certain agency. And I will say it did say reportedly overspent its budget by $17 million over 3 years, which is absolutely false. Every dime the sheriff's office spends is appropriated by the city county council and approved by the mayor.
Let me ask, here's a real world question that would fall under this law if we were past July 1st. Come Sunday, we've got and correct me if I'm wrong, Sheriff, we've got a public safety issue that is going to occur on Sunday when we have the greatest spectacle in racing out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Yes.
And then we have the greatest spectacle in basketball that evening downtown at Bankers Life. And depending on rain and timing of the race and who knows, there could be this big traffic crunch and we're going to have people, you know, intersections and what have you. And Marion County Sheriff's deputies are an integral part of the public safety, homeland security, traffic plan on a normal race day without a basketball game at 8 o'clock in the evening. That's some extra expense that you might incur that you didn't budget for because nobody knew we were going to be playing the Heat.
Yeah, all I can say is this. We will be there in force as we have for the last 50, 80 years. Mm-hmm. While deputy sheriffs will be out in assistance with IMPD. We will do our job. And, yeah, it is an unexpected situation, but we will be taking quick notes. We'll be taking a lot of notes of exactly how many, how much money this is costing. We'll let the public know immediately. And, you know, then it's up to the city county council and now probably maybe even the mayor himself to decide what's necessary and what's not.
And so this is a real-world example, Kevin Murray, of the types of things that not only the sheriff was talking about, the Indiana Sheriff's Association was talking about in the public hearings on the power grab bill, as well as other county officials, these unexpected expenses that come up.
That's correct. That's correct.
Because I believe in the governor's signing statement, he talked about the importance of entertainment.
Sure.
So it sounds like he would want the sheriff to be a part of keeping the city safe during these big entertainment events when we beat up on the Miami Heat. Let me go quickly to Ann at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling concerning the violation of a prisoner who was being searched.
Okay.
And he was violated, and he brought it to court, but they lost the footage, so they only took the sheriff's deposition.
When did this happen?
Back in March.
March of this year?
Yes. And I'm thinking if they cover up your alcohol level, what else would they be covering up if they don't want no one to know that they are doing that?
All right, let me ask you this. You said it was brought up in court?
Yes.
So there was a lawsuit filed?
Was there a lawsuit filed, or how was it?
No, it wasn't a lawsuit filed. What it was mm-hmm. they was charged because they did find some failure penalia on the person.
Mm-hmm.
So he was charged.
Okay,
but if they would have took that to trial, it'd have been worse for that person. You get what I'm saying?
No,
now?
I don't. What was the person charged with?
I think it was crack or cocaine or something he had in his pocket or in his rectum.
All right, and hold on now. And this search occurred where?
Downtown at the Marion County.
At the jail. You mentioned something about a video?
Yes, because they have videos there too.
Okay.
Did they searching you?
All right. Did his attorney or public defender bring that up in court?
What the public defender told him that if they take it to trial, it'll be more on him than it would be on them, because they couldn't find the footage of the film. No way, it was taped over, so they had to go by his word, the sheriff's word, instead of the film.
If the film was taped over, that could be, you know, some important information. That could be some alleged misconduct.
That's what we are.
Well, why didn't the public defender bring that up?
No, it was the first pub. It was her first case.
It was her first case.
Yes.
All right. You know what I'd like you to do, ma'am?
What's that?
All right. What I would like you to do is, this is the kind of thing the sheriff would like to know more about, but absolutely, not on the public airwaves. So what I want you to do, I want to put you on hold, mm-hmm. and I want you off the air to give Chris your name, mm-hmm. the name of the inmate, mm-hmm. and a number where you can be reached during the day.
Well, I don't want to cause the inmate no more problems, and he's still down there.
All right. Let me let the sheriff respond to that.
Yeah, you will not be causing that inmate any further problems. If you share with us any information, it is 100% confidential. The inmate will be kept extremely safe. But I want to get to the bottom of something like this, and I'll take it a step further. Once we do get to the bottom of anything like this, I'll bring it back in here to you, Amos. I'll let the folks know, since that this particular situation seems out there. Which we haven't had any of these, so I'll be glad to bring back the findings mm-hmm. of this situation.
Okay, because, Ann, if there's misconduct, he wants to know, because he fires folk.
In a heartbeat, if they're wrong.
If they're wrong.
Right. Well, like I said, he was wrong because he had something on him.
Well, just, you know, two wrongs don't make a wrong.
We expect that out of inmates.
Right.
But not out of a deputy sheriff.
All right, so you want to hold on, and Chris will pick you up and get that information, and it'll stay confidential, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, that'll allow me to talk to Jane right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos.
Hi.
I have a question for the sheriff.
Yes, ma'am.
I had a child that was in the work release program there at the bomb.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And they come up and they violated him there at the mall saying that, you know, he was supposed to have gone to their GED classes and this thing and the other.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, he had enrolled in a GED class outside of the mall. And he went to that. He went to all his classes. He took the GED test even. But he didn't pass in. But anyway, Duvall violated him and took him out, you know, Duvall, and put him downtown for, you know, a short while.
So he came over to the jail from Duvall?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. When they removed him from Duvall, they would not let him hide his personal belongings, not even his wallet, none of his clothes or anything like that.
Okay.
He was under the understanding that a parent or someone had 7 days to pick up his belongings.
From Duvall? From Duvall?
Yes.
Mm-hmm, yes. I think the Marion County Community Corrections is not under my purview at this time, but I do have very close contact with John Dieter, who does a wonderful job over there. I can call John. I can talk to John in a drop of a hat for any
problem. So they would not give you his stuff?
No, they wouldn't let him pack his stuff. They told him that they would do it for him. Okay, this was on like a Friday evening, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no one in their offices over the weekend. That Monday was a holiday. I was not able to get down there where there wasn't nobody in there on that Monday, you know, anyway, because of the holiday. I was there before 9 o'clock that Tuesday morning to pick up my son's belongings. They looked and looked and looked and come back and told me, well, man, we can't find them. I said, well, you mean you can't find them? And I know for a fact he had brand new stuff there because when he graduated from his GED class, they gave him a $250 gift card for completing the class. He had went out and bought new underwear and stuff.
All right, hold on a second. You mentioned a holiday. This is back in February?
No, this happened almost a year ago.
Well, hold on a second. Is he out?
No. No, they sent him on up to Pendleton.
Okay. He would need to file some sort of action or even maybe, I'm not sure whether small claims would work, but he would need to file an action against the city or the county against community correction for his stuff.
Okay, well, that's what I wanted to know, what actions can be taken. Because, I mean, he even had a jacket there, a school, you know, one of the Letterman jackets that you get from school.
Uh-huh.
That has his name across the back in great big letters and his first name across the front in letters. They couldn't even give me that.
They didn't give me
his wallet or anything.
All right, well, hold on. Who gave him the gift card and the jacket? Who gave that to him?
No, the jacket he got while he was in school.
Well, who ran the school?
No, I mean in high school.
Okay, all right. Okay, here's the problem. Because he's an adult, he has to initiate the action.
Okay.
And he could do that through a public defender. It might be the ACLU. It might be a private attorney. But he's going to have to initiate the action.
Okay. So again, but he could sue the city or whatever for his stuff.
I think he needs to consult an attorney. You could consult an attorney for him, but ultimately he has to make the decision.
Okay. Do you know how long the time he has to do this?
Now, that's a good question. If that occurred, that's what an attorney would tell you. Try first the Neighborhood Christian Legal Clinic.
Okay.
429-4131.
Okay.
Okay?
I will try.
All right. Thank appreciate you, it. Let me go one quick question. I know that the sheriff's got to run, and then I'm going to learn about stroke here in a minute. I go to Trina. Hi, Trina.
Hi. Hi. I have a comment. It's regarding my son. He's serving time right now in the Pendleton Correctional Facility.
Mm-hmm.
And my comment is his life had been threatened by a few of the Aryan brothers that's there. They had put a hit out on him to what they say, stab him up. So with that in mind, he had access, I would say this, to a weapon. And I guess the officers knew about that. So what they did, they found this weapon, which was not in my son's cell. And when they found the weapon, they showed the weapon to my son and told my son that he actually needed to find a better hiding spot. The very next day, the same weapon was planted in my son's cell by this officer. So my son went to a hearing. He was found guilty of a weapon which they had planted in his cell. He spoke with the internal affairs, and I also spoke with him about this situation, and he in return said that he believed everything that my son was telling him. And this was on video. Still yet, they charged my son with this, gave him a year to 2 years in segregation, and that
hold on a second. You said you talked to internal affairs. Internal affairs with who? With what agency?
Well, it's in the prison system.
Internal affairs of the Department of Correction.
At Pendleton.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
The first thing that came to my mind, Sheriff, is she needs to talk to the FBI or the United States Attorney's Office.
Yeah, she definitely does. If she has a complaint with a state penal facility, definitely.
If you've got something or evidence that some people are in a state correctional facility are doing official misconduct, I would strongly encourage you to call the U.S. Attorney's Office.
The U.S. Attorney's Office?
Because you know he's putting some public officials in jail.
Well, that's certainly, great, because there's a lot of them that needs to be put in jail. Instead of them, helping these inmates, they're upholding them and putting a lot of pressure on them to the point to, where they're trying to basically make them, just do things that they're not supposed to do, and so that they can just, max their term out. So I think it needs to be looked into. And as I said, I spoke with this IA, and he, basically said that he believed what my son had told him, but still yet they charged my son, and they gave him a year to 2 years in segregation for that.
Yeah.
But, that was it. They swept everything else under the rug.
I would get a hold of the U.S. attorney.
Okay.
Public corruption unit.
Public corruption unit.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, I
will
sure do that.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it. Sheriff John Layton, there's a lot going on.
There certainly is. We're up to it.
All right, keep us informed.
Thank you very much.